Hello and welcome to Resync, an Assassin's Creed podcast. I'm your host, Landon, joined as usual by my lovely co-host, Lucas. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. It's been a while.
Yeah, it has been a while. I'll take the majority of the blame for our long, pretty long. This is the longest break we've had since season one. But, you know, still not as bad as it was back then, you know. We're getting better. There's improvements.
I think one of those weeks was definitely my bad. I think.
I don't know. All over the place. Yeah. Shit's been busy. I'm about to move. There's all kinds of stuff going on. We won't be here next week. And then we'll be back for a few weeks. And then I'm going to be on a trip for a few weeks. It's all kinds of messed up right now. But we're back for the time being. And that's just,
yeah. So enjoy it while it lasts.
Because
you know how it is.
Just take it when you get it. You know, like, did we ever commit to this being a weekly podcast? Probably. But, you know, you get it when you can get it. These games have been out for years. You can wait a little bit longer. But we're here now. Everything's okay. We're back in business. Studio's still alive and well. And ready to get back into some Assassin's Creed. Full disclosure, you said you played this today, right?
I did.
Okay. I played this like 2 months ago at this point. So I might be a little hazy on some aspects. I reread through my notes. Shout out to note-taking. It's the real goat of the operation here. So I do remember a lot of it, but I might be a little dusty on some areas. As you know, if you guys were playing along, you might also be in that same boat.
Yeah. If you expected it to come out when it was supposed to come out, you're probably a little like foggy.
Yeah, but it's all right. It is what it is. You know, this is for the fans that remember regardless. So anyway, before we get into it proper, we've got last week's trivia question we've got to go over, which I asked you guys when you're out of the Animus talking to everybody. Desmond has a conversation with Rebecca where she talks about she used to be an athlete in some sport before she got injured and switched to coding. I asked you guys what she did. Now, the answer isn't necessarily full-on given. It's just kind of implied. She never just straight-up says she's this, but it's pretty obvious that she was a snowboarder. So, Rebecca was shredding it SSX style before she got injured and decided, I'm going to be a hacker lady. And now she's a straight-up assassin. So,
yeah.
You know, Sean White might be an assassin. That's all I'm saying. Just, you never know with those snowboarders out there. They just, one thing snaps and then they go to protect the world from evil. Snowboarders are the best of us, according to Ubisoft.
Thanks, snowboarders.
Thanks, Sean White, for protecting us. But congrats to those who got the answer correct, and best of luck to you for this week's trivia, which we shall have in a short while.
Yeah.
So, we are officially through the first act of Assassin's Creed Brotherhood now with this third sequence. You know, it's not quite as long as the second Assassin's Creed, and so this is kind of, you know, obviously there's still some more concepts that we are to be introduced to, but the meat and bones of the game has now been laid out to us. You know, this sequence was a lot about introducing the different factions of Rome and kind of interconnecting the Brotherhood a bit. You know, Ezio spending a lot of sequence three sort of gathering allies for this fight. And so how do you feel now, three sequences in, Lucas?
I'm feeling like I'm getting back to where like I used to be, you know. I'm glad you didn't get, like, spend the whole game like catching back up to where you were. Like, you're kind of just like, okay, here's basically everything in the, after the first act that you had at least. Like,
no, I agree, because I mean, I will say it is difficult to kind of figure out how to do a proper game sequel, because at the end of the day, you can't necessarily have people rehash what you did before, but then you have like a power scaling issue, especially with a franchise like this. You know, it's one thing to go from Assassin's Creed 1 to 2 because you have a new assassin, you know, learning new things. They had an upgraded engine. There's a lot of different stuff that they could kind of use as an excuse to sort of retutorialize a lot of aspects of the first game. But here in Brotherhood, it's a direct sequel. Ezio has this history, but do you start things off like not to say that Assassin's Creed 2 is a very challenging game. It had its moments here and there, but you know, difficulty wasn't necessarily the huge aspect of it. But like, how do you continue to add challenge past what you've done in Assassin's Creed 2 without making it feel like either A, he's facing foes that just make no sense, like sort of like an anime power scaling, if makes sense. Like, you know, like you can't make Ezio Goku. Yeah. But then you also have to do it in a way that makes sense for the story. Because, yeah, you don't want to like reset him at zero, but you also need a new starting point, a new threat that makes sense both in a gameplay sense and a narrative sense. And I think Brotherhood does a really good job of that. You know, sort of like taking it to a new location in Rome. So a lot of the stuff needs to be rebuilt in terms of like, you know, obvious things like sync points, but then also just, you know, influence and things like that. There's a new realm, but then also Ezio loses everything, really, with losing Mario. You know, his Monteriggioni is basically destroyed. Like it's ransacked.
Well, and it was like blown up with cannons and shit.
Yeah. So, you know, like it is in a sense, it narratively, it makes sense that he does have to start over. But then a lot of those skills carry over. It's not like you lose all your throwing knives, right? Yeah.
No, yeah. You still have throwing knives. Yeah. You have your gun.
Right. So a lot of that stuff carries over. But, you know, it's in a sense because you also have to think about it. You know, I don't think the developers had it in mind that they'd be getting new players jumping in Brotherhood. So I don't think they need to worry about that. But, you know, for other games, you know, you have to think about people getting into it for the first time. Like, to use a more recent example, like Borderlands 4 that's about to release. You know, it's been a while since the last Borderlands game. There's probably going to be a bunch of people playing that game, and that's their first experience into Borderlands. How do you cater to both new audiences and returning? I don't think that's necessarily as much of an issue with Brotherhood, because again, like, it is a straight up narrative and gameplay sequel to 2 in every single way, you know, which going forward, you know, is this the last time, besides Revelations obviously, but like, is Ezio the only time they've had like direct sequels? Like, you have, I guess, spin-offs in a sense that kind of, you know, continue stories.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure this is the only like continuous like trilogy like story that they kind of do.
Right.
Because they follow like the Hemways, Connor.
Right. Connor and then Edward.
Not him. What's his name?
Kenway. Yeah. Well, yeah, they kind of have this like America's trilogy between 3, 4 and Rogue. And then Rogue, you know, without spoiling anything, because it is a pretty major spoiler, but Rogue directly leads into Unity in a way that nobody anticipated, fun fact. So a little thing to look forward to.
I didn't
there.
Even know that.
Yeah, Rogue's events directly lead into the beginning of Assassin's Creed Unity, fun fact.
I remember I didn't play Rogue because I got a new console like basically a month after it came out, I feel like.
Well, yeah, I mean, that was the huge thing about Rogue, is that like you had this brand new console, the PS4, the Xbox One, and then this brand new game that takes advantage of said console. Who the fuck is going to want to play this game that came out only on the old consoles, didn't come out on PS4 and Xbox One, is only on the PS3 and the 360?
Came out the last year in the run.
Black Flag came out on PS4, but Rogue didn't. They said, no, this is only on last gen. Like, talk about underselling your game to just an insane degree. But there's actually a lot of people who really love Rogue. It's actually the one Assassin's Creed game I have never played. I've at least touched all of the others. but I've never played Rogue, but I've heard very good things about it, actually. I've heard it's a very underrated game. I heard it's not fantastic. It's not peak Assassin's Creed, but I've heard a lot of good things about it.
I wanted to check it out just because I really like the, like, Edward and Connor. I kind of like that whole storyline, and I know it's, like, kind of in that same universe following, like, what's his nuts? I can't remember his name.
Haytham? Or just
no,
Shay?
The in Rogue, yeah, like the guy, the main guy.
Yeah, Shay McCormick.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, I like them turning it on its head, like you're playing as a Templar, assassin turned Templar, and sort of like looking at a lot of the morally gray things assassins have done, because, you know, in the series already thus far, there have been references to assassins not necessarily always being the greatest people. And I think Rogue is really one of the first. Well, I think three touches on it between, like, Haytham and Connor's relationship, talking about, like, the good and evil of assassins and Templars, and that line isn't necessarily so clear-cut. You know, Rogue really just honing in on that as an entire storyline. I think one of the biggest detriments to Rogue is that it had been so leaned on already in 3 and 4. You have 3, you know, Haytham being a Templar versus, you know, like Connor being an assassin, the clash of ideals there. And then you have Black Flag being someone who isn't in the Assassin's Order, sort of like following that and not necessarily being there, but kind of being alongside it. That whole America trilogy really deals with a lot of it. And so I think Rogue making that its entire premise could be good as like a culmination of that ideal. But, like, the execution isn't always there. But I think in a narrative standpoint, you know, Rogue has some really interesting ideas that I think is where it shines the most.
Nowadays, I'm more into the narrative, so that's good. I'm glad to be playing it. And it's also not coming up here, not too far away.
We've got a fair bit, which also, I didn't tell you, I've been playing Liberation, the PS Vita game. Mm-hmm. I've been playing it on Xbox Series X, but again, like, the whole point is that, like, I want at least one of us to have experienced something before we get into it, if anything, just to help the pacing of the podcast, because obviously early on we have sequences and it's a lot easier to kind of pace things that way because, you know, we just do a sequence. But then honestly, once you get to like Assassin's Creed 3, it gets really difficult because those sequences become really long and it's, you know, easier said than done to just try to split things up by sequences, and then they just throw sequences out entirely, and so we'll have to find a new way of pacing this podcast out.
Yeah, because I could think in 3 you have like a whole in the Animus thing, and then you have a lot of times you have like a really long out of the Animus thing too,
right? So, well, you know, there are new pacing things coming up, but then also, like I said, we're getting to Assassin's Creed games that like neither of us have beat or like neither of us have played and things like that. So I have been skipping ahead a little just to make sure that, like, I don't want to play Liberation at, like, right before we have to. And then I just played it. It's fresh in my mind. This way, it's like, you know, it gives a little bit of time because we still have Revelations in 3 before we get to Liberation. Well, we also have the DLC for 3, you know, the Tyranny of King Washington and all
that. I'm actually excited to play those.
Yeah, which I've never played those. This will be the first time for me. Lucas has played.
They're super fun.
But, you know, so then we've got Liberation. But then also, like, I plan on doing the same thing for, like, Assassin's Creed Rogue, Unity. I haven't beaten any of the Assassin's Creed up until Shadows. Shadows is the first Assassin's Creed game I've beaten since Black Flag. And I never even completed the end game for that. Never. Like, there's still plenty of stuff I have yet to do in Shadows. So it's like, you know, I do want to get through those, or at least have one of us get through, you know, certain stuff so that we can at least know what to expect. And so, yeah, I've been playing through Liberation. I've played the first couple sequences, and I'll save a lot of the thoughts for, you know, obviously when we get to that in this podcast. But it's aight. Like, it's, you know, there's certain things that are really cool about it. Like, the fact that this was running on a PlayStation Vita is kind of insane because it is a full Assassin's Creed game. Like, you run around in the world, you do missions, it's an open world. Like, crazy this thing was running on a tiny little piece of plastic. Like, we're not talking about the Switch here. We're talking about the PlayStation Vita.
The PS Vita,
actually,
though,
really awesome console.
Yeah, it was pretty badass. Like, did you ever see the God of War game that was for the Vita?
It wasn't Ascension. It was either Chains of Olympus or Blood of Sparta. One of the two. One of them was PSP.
I want to say Blood of Sparta.
Yeah.
But
you know, the Vita games were dope.
And they looked good. Like, they looked good. They ran well. I was like, God damn.
It was a sick system. Like, the problem is that nobody cared about it. But yeah, it had some really good games on it. And Liberation, like, you know, for what it was, like, for what it was running on, insane. It's just, it is a very stripped down version of Assassin's Creed. Like, everything's there, pretty much. It's just, you know, it's not really any side content. Like, there kind of is. There's, like, a few things here and there. The story's interesting enough. You know, some of the voice acting's a little cringy. But, like, the story has me intrigued. I like it so far. Like, it's not the best thing in the book. It's probably, for everything thus far, the worst Assassin's Creed game, like, of the, like, four before it. But it's not a bad game. It's like a 6 out of 10. Like, that's okay, kind of where I'm at right
bad.
Now.
That's not bad.
Yeah. But anyway. So, should we talk about Brotherhood now?
Yeah, we should probably talk about Brotherhood.
Anyway, you know, just it's been a while. We gotta make up for lost time.
We're just venting. We need to get all this talk out.
But getting into sequence 3. So this is one where, you know, you have 3 places you can go to. But again, there is technically a canonical order to all of this. And so canonically, the first place that Ezio goes to is the Thieves Guild.
Oh, I went to the brothel first.
Same.
It was closest. That's usually, I do all my missions by, like, how close are they? And then I'd, like, get 100%. The way, and then I get the waypoints on the way. That's
exactly what I do. Well, and also there's, you know, a bunch of side stuff starts popping up in this sequence. And it got to the point that I was spending so much time doing side stuff, whether it was like I was just constantly getting distracted. And again, this was a while ago that I played. So I don't remember exactly what I had going on. I think I just needed to get to bed. Like, it was just super, super early in the morning for me. And I just needed to go to bed. And so I eventually just had to stop and I had to just zone in and finish the sequence because I was like, it's been like 3 hours. I gotta fucking go. So I just kept doing all this side stuff with the what are the wolf men called?
Oh, the
Brutus?
Anulus, or yeah, the
that's the armor you get. The cult of something.
Is it a cult of Brutus?
Well, you get the Brutus armor for completing it, but it's something. I think it's like the Order of something. Hold on. I think it was in the second sequence that we encounter them, right?
The Cult of Romulus.
Cult of Romulus. There we go. I think I did 2 of them this sequence. At least 1, but I think 2. Which those ones always have the most annoying 100% sync options. Because it's always like complete in a certain amount of time. And you can never do it in the first try. Because the first try, you're just trying to figure that shit out. So then you just have to do it all over again. And it's such a pain in the ass. Way too much shit. So Ezio goes to the Thieves Guild to find La Volpe.
Yeah, La Volpe, the fox.
The fox is back from Assassin's Creed 2, as apparently are, like, most of the cast of the second game.
And I love how, like, every time you run into him, you're like, what are you doing here, Ezio? It's just like, what do you mean all of you guys are here and didn't, like, invite me? Like,
one, not invited. 2, why is it that they're questioning why we're there? Like, all of them were in Venice, and then they all happened to just come to Rome, like...
Yeah, and then they're also, like, running the exact things we need.
Yeah, it's pretty convenient, but
it's
whatever.
Fine. It's fine.
It's fine. But, so, basically, he's like, hey, I need you to come work. Turns out, he's left the assassins. He's not an assassin anymore. He's fully with the Thieves Guild, and... because he refuses to work with Machiavelli. He accuses him of being a traitor because he sees him working with, I guess, some of the Borgia. He's witnessed him.
Wow.
He's like, I'm not going to work with that piece of shit. And which doesn't really make sense. in the sense of like, oh, he's colluding with the enemy, therefore I'm gonna leave this thing because this one man is corrupt. Now, it, yeah, it's not like Machiavelli's like, I don't know, how's the assassin structure in Venice? Like, it's never really detailed.
Well, it doesn't really seem like they have, like, a structure right now. Like, it kind of seems like it's just, like, wherever, like, there's people in the order, and they kind of control their parts, and it's just kind of, like, ran that way. Like, there's no, like, master assassin or anything, you know what I mean?
Right. Well, I was thinking about it as, like, would Machiavelli be considered, like, the master assassin or whatever? But even then, he, like, takes orders from Ezio.
Yeah, so. Like, if anything, I feel like it was Mario.
Right. But, like, yeah, you're right. I mean, it's not a very, like, formal chapter of the Brotherhood, really. You know, it's definitely no Masyaf.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's... So, but either way, you know, he's like, I'm done. I ain't working with that piece of shit. And so he's like, I'll fucking prove it to you right now, because he's supposed to be meeting with him tonight. And so Ezio accompanies La Volpe to spy on Machiavelli in order to persuade him to rejoin the Brotherhood. So he's basically like, fine, I'll check this out, see what the fuck you're talking about. And so meeting at the spot, they witness Machiavelli speak with a Borgia guard. And so his story checks out, allegedly.
Well, here's my thing. Even like when he is like, his story checks out or whatever, in my head, like the first thing I thought was like, what if it's just an informant? Like, they're spies. Like, they're informants or people who work in the, like, that's who they are. Like,
that's true.
You know what I mean? Like, who else would he be talking to get information besides like a Borgia spy?
You know what? That's fair. And it's not like Machiavelli's really done anything in the past to warrant this type of, you know, I guess, suspicion.
Yeah, like he left before the invasion happened because it was a smart thing to do. And that was one of the reasons, like, La Volpe was like, he left, he fled right when you got attacked. And I was like, we knew it was obviously going to happen, though. Like, he had the apple, like, he had everything.
So, like, no, hold on. I'm on La Volpe's side here, because he specifically left because he was pissed that Ezio didn't do what he wanted. And so he said, I'm going to Rome right now. And then he left. And then later that night, Rome just so happens to attack them. It is a little suspicious.
I was a little on his side, like, even in the moment, because I thought it was a dumb decision to try and stay hold there. Like, I knew they were, like, going to try and get, like, attacked. So, like, in my head, I would have been like, I'm getting as far away from here as possible.
Yeah. But then he didn't say that. Like, he was just like, I'm going to Rome. That was a dumb call. You should have killed Rodrigo, and then storms out.
Which,
but
I
then
don't disagree with 100%.
Yeah. But, like, I would say that also begs the question, you know, maybe he could have been lying about why he was upset, but, you know, for someone that was so pissed that Rodrigo isn't dead, it would be weird for him to turn and actually be working for Rodrigo, or, you know, in the broader sense, the Borgia, but that could have been a cover. Maybe it wasn't so much that he was upset Rodrigo didn't die, more so upset that he got the apple, say, and, you know, he fawned it as, you should have killed Rodrigo, and then actually took off. I mean, it makes a little sense. And Machiavelli was pretty absent for a lot of Assassin's Creed 2. He only came in there towards the end. And so, you know, comes in, acts super important, doesn't really do a whole lot, and then is mostly just upset with Ezio, storms off, bad things happen. He happens to be in Rome and have a fair bit of influence compared to the rest of them, you know? So, but he's just, you know, maybe he's a couple steps ahead. Who knows? We'll see.
Who knows?
But, yeah. So Machiavelli, you know, is speaking with his Borgia guard. And then as Machiavelli leaves, the thieves attack. However, they get outnumbered pretty quickly. A bunch of Borgia come, and Ezio saves and escorts a young recruit to safety. And so La Volpe agrees to rejoin, but Machiavelli's loyalties remain questionable. And so Ezio renovates the guild into the Sleeping Fox, which is an inn to operate under the Borgia's noses, as well as search for the apple. That is the thieves' job, is to try to figure out what the Borgia might have done with the Apple of Eden.
I'm also kind of curious on the time frame for all of these missions, because they build entire fucking like buildings between these like missions that you do.
So unfortunately, I'm usually good about writing down these dates. I don't have them for this sequence. So I believe it's the same time frame as the second sequence. Fuck it. About 1500. But I'll have to double check when we play the next sequence. But yeah, it's allegedly, as far as I can remember, it is all just at once. But yeah, those renovations just spring up. I don't know what the canon explanation is. I'm curious how much the tie-in novel for Brotherhood that we'll eventually get to after the game will explain that away. Whether it's something that takes over, like, you know, there's like a year of him going in, renovating these buildings and whatnot. Because he renovates three of them.
Yeah, and that's what I was like. I was like, there's no way, like, I was like, I feel like these events kind of had, like, the thing being built had to happen the same time the other thing was being built for this to make sense to me.
Right. But then it's also, like, too, like, the culmination, like, once you have all your allies gathered, they do kind of gather as if that was something that had just happened over the span of a few days. Like, yeah. Okay, we got everybody gathered, now let's do this. But, you know, realistically, the time frame's very messed up here. It's just Animus time dilation. It's don't fine. Worry about it. Don't think about it. It's fine. But did you happen to do any side stuff here? Because at this point, I had done some side stuff.
I actually did not. I kind of wanted to wait to do side stuff till we started getting like into the Brotherhood-y stuff where like right. You could, you know, have buddies.
That's fair. I just wanted to give you an opportunity to, because I had some side stuff kind of sprinkled in between these, but we'll wait until you experience them before we dive into it. But the second canonical thing that happens is when Ezio meets Bartolomeo.
Abe, our boy Bart is back.
Good old Barty. Barty Simpson in the flesh. Who claims that his soldiers are fine, but his wife claims they need help.
And he has a wife.
Yeah, he has a wife now. It's crazy.
And she's actually kind of a badass. I love her.
It's not his sword. It's wild. Which does, in fact, lead me to this week's trivia question, which is, you know, anybody who played Assassin's Creed 2 knows how close Bartolomeo is to his sword, his precious love. Well, now he has a new love. But my trivia question is for those people that can remember, you know, his real one and only. My trivia question this week is, what is the name of Bartolomeo's sword? His special love.
His first love.
Yes, his first. And perhaps only. Who knows how close he is with his wife.
I love when he told his wife to throw him his sword, and he was like, she just like.
Yep. Good old times. Gotta love Bart. But yeah, he's very cavalier about the whole thing. He's very like, oh, yes, we're making very good progress and everything's great. And, you know, like my soldiers could never lose. And then he kind of like walks away and his wife's like, this man's going to fucking die. Please save his ass.
Save us, please.
Yeah. Like, for the love of Christ. And so, you know, Ezio essentially is now helping the soldiers. He kills the Borgia captain,
Like, it was one of those, like, when you had to kill the Borgia captain, you had to just chase him and, like, kind of assassinate him. I did it so fast the first time that it glitched the mission out, and it, like, didn't complete it. Like, it was like, I just told me to kill the Borgia captain, but he wasn't, but I was like, he's already dead. What do I do now? So I had to, like, restart the mission just so I could do it, and I had to, like, wait a little bit because I didn't want to, like, do it again. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I got his ass.
I'm trying to remember, because again, it has been a while. Was this the Borgia captain that was on like those docks?
No. He was like you ran out of the castle basically, and there's like a kind of like a battle going out in front of the castle doors, or maybe not like fortress doors or whatever. And you just it like told you to like capture and get to the Borgia captain before he alerted the camp. And that was like your objective. And you basically had to just like kill him.
Huh.
You just had to chase him down and kill him. It was not that bad.
I don't know. Like I said, it's been a minute, so the specifics are blurred to me.
Yeah, and then you had to like climb the, like there was one of the Borgia towers. It was like in the middle of the water, and you like jumped off a cliff and dove into the water and like swam to like the little island that it was on.
I feel like I vaguely remember that. I think I remember the tower, but I don't remember the actual captain. But I'm getting I'm getting some flashbacks.
The captain, to be fair, like in the grand scheme of gameplay, took like less than 20 seconds. Right. So
probably I do remember it being very short. Like, yeah, very overblown.
Yeah, and then I, like, just, like, burned down the castle or the Borgia Tower and just it was over.
Right. Fair enough. And so, you know, but essentially you're clearing out this, you know, you're getting rid of the captain, trying to cause chaos, and so that his troops can attack the barracks so Bartolomeo's troops can focus on the French assault. And so then you essentially, you know, reclaim the barracks, and in return for renovating them, Ezio asks for help finding Cesare and Rodrigo, which Bartolomeo happily agrees to. He's all about it. And so, yeah, you now have a barracks as well as a thieves' guild.
Yeah.
So you've got thieves, you've got soldiers. Well, who could possibly be the third ally?
Vagina.
Whores. It's time to get the sluts in shape, because we're heading to the pleasure house. And so our third and final thing, we always of course have the courtesans, which make their return from the second game. And so
yes,
whores. And so Ezio attempts to meet with the Madonna at the pleasure house, but slave traders have kidnapped her for ransom. And so Ezio sets out to free her. And so essentially, you know, he goes, I thought we were just going to go kill him and save her, but end up paying the ransom.
I was very annoyed at that, actually. When he was like, get the money to pay, I was like, what do you mean get the money to pay the ransom? I'm just going to go kill those fuckers.
That's what I'm saying. And then that's what fucking happened anyway.
Yeah, like, that's what happened anyway.
Yeah. And so, like, just give them the money. Yeah. And then they're just like, haha, fuck you. Fuck this bitch. Kill her.
Slice.
Yeah. And then, you know, you decide to don your hood and cape, and then you're out for vengeance. So, bah, 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 bah.
Yeah. And then you murder them.
Yeah.
And then you can steal back your money.
Which I did.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was all about that. Just
no, literally, I was like, that was like, what, $4,000 or some bullshit? I was kind of, I was kind of pissed about that.
I looted everything. I said, I'm going to take my money, I'm going to take your money, I'm going to take all y'all's money, I'm going to be reverse Oprah in this bitch. Give me all your shit.
Those traders, too, they actually had some, like, good shit on them. Like, like, diamonds and rupees and shit.
True. Which I also spent a ton of money this sequence, because I was like, if I could renovate it, I was about it, and I was clearing, like, a bunch of Borgia towers, and so I was just dumping as much money as I could into the economy so I could get that shmoney flowing. So yeah, I spent a lot of coinage this time, and I like sold everything that I had everywhere, and I was all about that bread. But so yeah, heading back to the courtesans, Ezio discovers that Claudia and his mother are with them trying to help out.
Which I thought was so weird. I was like, what are they there for?
They want to help their brother / son.
I know, but like, how did they know Ezio was there, and why are they at a brothel?
Didn't he say, though, that he was going to Rome? Like, because after...
Okay, yeah, he's going to Rome, but like, why was he like, I know where Ezio will be, the brothel.
Well, when they were, before they got to Monteriggioni, they did stay at a brothel in Venice. And so, you know, like, they are also in the Assassin's Brotherhood, you know, like, Claudia was, like, the accountant for a while there. She knows about the business dealings of the Assassins. And so, as women, you know, it wouldn't make sense for them to go to the Thieves Guild necessarily, or the soldiers. Like, it would have made maybe, like, a little sense for the Thieves Guild, because there are obviously, like, female thieves, but women of their stature it would have made sense to go with the courtesans because they've done it before. They would have blended in best there, you know, because like I'm sure I don't know how much the Borgia really know about Claudia and I forget her name, but, you know, Ezio's mother.
Mommy Ezio.
I feel like it's like Maria or something, but Mama Ezio or Mama Auditore, you know, I don't know how much they know about him, but could be there. You know, they could be recognized. I don't know. So, I mean, out of all the places to go, it's not like they could just they don't necessarily have like a brotherhood hideout. I mean, they kind of do now, but it's not like they know that. So I don't know. Compared to anywhere else, I guess it makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, they're like, we want to help. And Ezio's like, fuck you. Go home. You're not wanted. You're going to die. Fuck you. And fuck you again. And they're basically like, no. Because Claudia's like, because, you know, all the courtesans are like, where's Madonna? And he's like, she's dead. My bad.
Yeah, and I love how they're just like, well, I guess we're just out of the job now. Like, you know, like yeah. They're like, no one's going to step up in that group. They already knew.
Yep. And then Claudia's like, I've been doing this shit for a whole game's worth.
Like, don't you worry, horrors. It'll be fine.
I'll take care of you. I'll pimp you out. No problem.
And then, like, Ezio, I felt like gave her way, like, harder of a time for some reason. Like, he was being, like, mean to her almost. Like, I kind of get the brother, like, hey, fuck you, sister. But, like...
Oh, absolutely. I mean, like, I know it comes from a place of, like, protection. Because there is a difference between, you know, because even though she's doing a lot of the same stuff she was doing in Montregione, it's a lot different when, you know, it's their own village, you know, it's got its own protection, it's defended, versus they're in, like, the heart of the enemy here. Like, they could get raided by Borgia at any time if she slips up.
Yeah.
So I understand the hesitation. But, yeah, she's a grown woman. Grow up.
Well, like, even when she's, like, showing it off at the end, like, when it's all built up, like, I feel like Ezio's, like, she's like, look how amazing this is. And he's like, yeah, it's all right. He's like, I'm glad my money went to well spent. Like, he's
like, literally.
It's like, give her some props. She did some good shit here.
Yep. And she basically has to be like, she's like, I'll look for Katerina. It'll be fine. You know, like, we're going to go find her. And so he's like, fine. And, you know, he uses his money to renovate, you know, the Blooming Rose is what it's called, turning it into the biggest brothel in town.
Even more wow.
They be having hella hoes in that bit. And it's bumping. And so with that, I mean, I do think it's kind of cool that the assassins, like, over the span of however long this is supposed to take place, have essentially cornered the economy of Rome, which I think is cool. I mean,
they control, like, I mean, basically anything to get information, like, they kind of control at this point.
Well, like, and remember, this does mirror real life. So if, you know, for chance you were trying to take on a corrupt government, just... you know, renovate businesses to take control of the economy, and therefore you will win. That's true.
Yeah.
It worked for Ezio. It'll work for you.
I feel like it's already worked now.
Just start renovating. But, you know, so we've got it. We've amassed our intelligence gathering. We've got resources. The Brotherhood is starting to come together here. And so now is time to move back to our assassin's hideout, and you meet with Machiavelli, which, remember, his loyalties are still kind of in question here. And so Ezio goes to confront him, but instead is told a Borgia informant has given him the locations of several prominent Borgia members. Would you look at that?
Wow. He's not a bad guy.
He was an informant.
I mean, maybe not a bad guy, but...
And so, you know, realizing that La Volpe was wrong, Ezio backs down and meets with the others, you know, gathers everybody together.
Yeah, I love how he didn't even, like, mention anything about La Volpe being, like, suspicious. He was just like, he's like, how'd you know it was a guard? He was just like, don't worry about it. I was just a guess.
I mean, I would have done the same shit. Like, they got enough shit to deal with. I'm not about to say, hey, this other, like, lieutenant thinks you're a prick. I'm just gonna not say shit. I'll be like, none. Nope.
No conflict.
Know.
Anyway, I guess, yeah, less conflict in the brotherhood, the better.
Got nachos in the other room if you want some. Yeah, I ain't dealing with that. Fuck that. And so, in the time it's taken for him to get everybody up to speed, Bartolomeo found Cesare holed up with Rodrigo at a church.
Wow.
And La Volpe determined the apple was being studied by an anonymous benefactor. And Claudia learned that Christina is being moved to the Castello prison next week.
A lot of information there.
Yeah. So the assassins plan to attack the Castello and finish Rodrigo and Cesare once and for all.
Hell yeah.
That's it. This game's almost done. I'm sure everything's going to go according to plan.
Yeah, I'm sure we're going to kill everybody we're supposed to.
Hell yeah. But yeah, I will say, like, again, it does almost feel like, obviously there's new concepts, but this kind of first act feels very similar to the entirety of Assassin's Creed 2.
Yeah, like it felt almost tutorially. Well, kind of was a tutorial, but it felt like it was just but it wasn't like full tutorial. It was like, here's Assassin's Creed 2 elements. Here's how you use them.
Right.
And they did it kind of speed run it. Like they didn't spend a lot of time like, this is how you do this. This is how you do this. Like,
right. It was, you know, part recap, part reintroduction, part like, you know, this, you are now skilled enough that we don't need to spend 20 hours getting you into this. We're going to do it in 3 now to get you up to speed. And from here on out, I have the feeling that things are going to go a little differently this time.
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, things are already different enough, like, in a narrative perspective, because obviously, well, I guess not too different. You know, the first game starts off with you losing your family, and the second game starts off with you, you know, losing your family. And so, I guess it's not too different, but, you know.
Different enough.
Yeah, different enough. And so... yeah, that's our third sequence. Like I said, technically, if you're just sticking to the main stuff, it goes by pretty quickly. But like I said, I did a bunch of side content. And I was constantly getting pulled away here and there, which really extended it for me. But it is still like a lot of building, a lot of setup. And now we're kind of really going to be getting into the meat and potatoes of what this game has to offer next sequence as we get into the second act.
Yeah, I'm really excited to start like building out Rome and like getting that economy going and getting that passive income, baby.
Yeah, yeah. Like I said, I've already got mine like way up because like I said, I was getting shmoney. I loaded all that back into just renovating building after building. I took out like 2 or 3 Borgia towers so I could renovate more spots. Yeah, I was getting into it.
Oh, I forgot about being able to renovate the Borgia towers. I took out a bunch of them, but I didn't go and like buy it.
Well, it's not so much, I don't think you can renovate the Borgia towers themselves. It's just you can't renovate places in an area until you've taken out that Borgia tower.
I guess
that
sense.
They control that sector. And once you take out the Borgia tower, you can then anywhere in that sector, you can renovate shops and, you know, landmarks, etc.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's important. You do have to get rid of the Borgia towers first in an area. They're kind of like an evolved sync point. You know, you still have the synchronization points, but then you have to also first get rid of the Borgia tower before you can really start renovating spots in that area. So it goes like sync point, Borgia tower, renovations. Just boom, boom, boom. But yeah, there's a lot of depth here. This is one of the things is like, yes, it's a shorter game than Assassin's Creed 2, but it also has a ton more side content. Like, they really filled up this thing here. And there's, like, between, like, the systems that are already put in place, some future systems that we still have yet to see, there's a lot of things you can do to play around in this world here, which I think is really cool. It's a nice way to help, you know, help it feel like an evolution still without necessarily, like, really pushing them to their breaking point, trying to get this out in a year and make it feel, you know, revolutionary.
Well, I don't know if you've like kind of noticed, but Rome feels huge to me. Like,
oh, yeah.
Getting from like the like missions, like it took a long time, which I'm not like mad at or anything. I was just like, I just noticed like, man, these maps feel way bigger than the second game. Because the second game, I feel like you just kind of run around everywhere. This game, like you almost have to use your horse if you want to get there efficiently.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, that was the point I was going to bring up, is it's so big, they give you a horse to use in the streets, you know?
Which I love having that, because the crowd density is up just, like, all the way, so you're just, like, plowing people over.
Yeah, I do have fun with that. Like, there's sometimes, I generally don't use the horse too often, because, again, like, I'm trying to explore the side stuff, yeah. I'm trying to experience things, but then, like, once it got to the point where I was like, I need to get this done, you know, I started using that horse more. The satisfaction you get just plowing through people, just fuck you.
anytime I see a guy with a box, instantly going after that guy.
Oh, yeah.
He's dropping that box.
My cabbages! But yeah, it's a lot of fun. And like I said, I think, you know, we've brought this up a lot of times over the course of the season thus far, but Brotherhood just does such a great job of continuing the story and gameplay of the second while feeling like such a great step up in so many subtle ways. Cause, like, you know, they increase the combat animation, so combat just feels so much more smooth. The sort of, like, one-hit combo meter you can pull off is just a really great natural evolution of both showing that Ezio is now this super experienced fighter, but then also, you know, continuing to innovate there. We've got new gadgets, you know, these new gameplay mechanics, you know, they've also, you know, obviously, you know, they had 2 years to work on Assassin's Creed 2. They had one to work on Brotherhood. Granted, I'm sure a lot of it was carried over since it was originally supposed to be part of 2, so I'm sure the entire development cycle was not just 1 year. However, they were most likely on more of a time crunch to get this one out. And so, you know, the second game had a bunch of different locations in, you know, like Venice, Firenze, you know, a couple other spots. This one just has Rome, but then they filled it out. You know, they it's huge. There's a lot of different things you can do here. It doesn't feel very copy and paste. Like, the different districts feel, like, distinctive. They did a really good job about, if they did cut any corners, it doesn't feel apparent, and really just taking, you know, full use of the time and resources that they had.
You can tell they had some, like, good, really good bones to work off of from, like,
right,
just having two.
Right. And I'm curious if it's the same code, like, because, you know, you go to Rome at the end of Assassin's Creed 2, but it's, you know, it's linear, it's closed off, you're just there on the battlements. Do you think it's accurate to, like, Brotherhood? Like, is that spot there in the Vatican?
I don't know. I feel like it would be. I feel like it would be weird for them not to put it, like, that sounds like something that they would do.
Right.
Especially if they, like, are just reusing assets from the second game.
I
feel like that would definitely be in there.
Right. But, you know, food for thought. But do you have any final thoughts about the sequence before we get out of here for the week?
No, I'm just excited that everything's, like, getting back to normal. We have our crew. We're about to, like, get more crew. And I'm excited.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be a fun time. And I hope you guys are excited as well. Make sure to answer that trivia question down below. What is the name of Bartholomew's sword? Good old Barty. What's his sword called? What's the name of his beautiful, not so much bride? Let us know down in the comments below. Or if you're over on Apple Music, or what's the other option I have? Is it just Apple and Spotify? Yeah, I guess it is. If you're on Apple, yeah, head on over to Spotify or YouTube or wherever you consume our content. But appreciate you. Leave it down in the comments. Let us know how you're thinking of the podcast. Again, sorry for the long delay. You know, the last time we actually did record, we didn't get to play Resync because he was having internet issues and it wouldn't let him play. And so
yeah,
because
of the Ubisoft Connect bullshit.
Yeah, so it was especially longer for you Resync fans. We did get an Arkham Radio episode out that week. So apologies for that, but we're back. Like I said, next week, we're not going to be here because we're both indisposed, but we will be back the week after with some really exciting stuff. Sequence 4.
Heck yeah.
And so we appreciate you guys. Thank you for sticking with us through all the chaos and turmoil. And hopefully we'll be back to a little more consistency. Like I said, we've got some stuff coming in the future. But hopefully when that's all said and done, we can, you know, get to a more routine schedule. Again, better than it used to be. We're getting there.
We're trying.
That's the important thing. So we appreciate you. And remember, nothing is true.
Everything is permitted.
See you next time.